and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter, and with me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli.
Hello.
From the East Coast. Jeff, an interesting week we've had here. We thought we were going to sweep the week, and we had a great win against Boston, and then we completely fell apart against Philly before rebounding tonight with an amazing, you know, really nice, nice, solid win at home against a good team.
Yeah, I don't know what that was yesterday. I mean, that was an abomination. It just, like, nobody could hit shots. It's funny if you see the stat line. I don't even know how they had as many points as they did, because it's like Kidd had no points, Shumpert had no points, Smith had no points. They're all, like, 0 for 9. I don't know. But they could have easily lost that. Hawks are, you know, they're a professional team, the Hawks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, they're a professional basketball team. You could lose to the Hawks. And you got to deal with that. But
yeah, I mean, they've beaten Oklahoma City and Memphis this year, just to give you a perspective.
They're a professional team. They can play.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, look, if you want to just start with – let's go back a little bit. We'll get to this game. The Boston game I thought was very important.
Oh, yeah. You want to send the message. They had to win that one. You get the whole Honey Nut Cheerios bullshit. I felt the crowd was, like, subdued. I felt like they weren't that into it.
I honestly thought that they were going to – I'm surprised. Like, I thought they were going to have to stop the game because there was going to be Cheerios all over the court.
I agree. I thought they were going to do the Honey Nut Cheerios chant. And Melo got booed a little bit, but it wasn't much, man. It wasn't manageable.
Maybe Boston's just not, like, a tough town like it used to be.
I don't know. Maybe they're upset about the Patriots loss still.
Yeah, that could be. They might not really be into basketball at this time of year yet.
That's the only thing I can say.
You know, it's a little early to be totally invested in the NBA.
Yeah, that's my only explanation, because they should have been primed for that. Yeah, it was an important game for the Celtics, and the crowd wasn't a factor.
I'm not going to lie. I'm happy to hear their season's over.
They won today, though.
Yeah, but Rondo's out for the year. They're finished.
Gonna kill him. That's gonna kill him.
You know what? I proposed a trade off our West Coast Knicks Fan Twitter handle. I said, should we now try and get Garnett for Shumpert, Copeland, and Kurt Thomas?
Does that get that done? Do you want Garnett?
We could use some big man help.
Yeah. What is your feelings on Shumpert thus far? Seeing him now that he's playing.
I hope this isn't like the Shumpert. I hope this isn't it.
I hope so too, man. This is not – you want the guy that's going to guard the point guard and lock him down. And the thing that's been pretty consistently bad, and tonight was bad, the transition D was pretty atrocious at times.
It's very hard to individually assess Nick guards defensively, because other teams just go hard pick and roll every play. And if it's Amari in there, it's a disaster.
Mari has been very good on offense, and he's been that bad on defense.
Yeah, I mean, because if the Knicks have Amari in there, the other team just runs pick and roll, and Amari just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's a glaring weakness. We talked about it last week when we perused the free agent bargain bin, and they could desperately use another big, because Amari, I mean, he's giving you what you want off the bench. He's very overqualified for that role, but man, they need some rebounding help.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Felton got burned today by Teague and lit up by Drew Holiday.
Holiday, who we've been touting since the
beginning. Yeah, I mean, I think part of that is, you know, Felton's just not as quick as those guys, but. You know, I think Amari kills him, and I think Chandler's a little banged up again.
Yeah, I would say. He took that big spill the other game with Austin Day against the Pistons in London.
Yeah. I think I guess that's the injury. I don't know. He's definitely dinged up.
Yeah.
You're
not getting a fully healthy Chandler right now.
It's just very hard when you're already starting with a guy like Felton, who's not the quickest defensively in the league, and you run the pick and roll, and then you have – a hurt Chandler or a disgraceful Amari back there. I mean, it's just nothing you can do.
Yeah, it's you saw it a couple times where Amari's getting beat. Like, the guy just doesn't know how to play defense. Just not at all.
And even, like, when he goes to box out, he doesn't even really try to box out. He doesn't even know where to go.
Yeah, it's a glaring weakness that you just got to deal with. And you hope – what do you hope? Camby comes back? Camby is atrocious, too, at times. And he looks really, like, slow. And, I mean, come on.
No, it's tough. It's I mean, look, we have to accept – the team that we are. But, I wanted to go back to Boston. I thought it was a huge win, and I thought it sort of, like, was going to get us rolling immediately in the right direction. And then we had this blip, and Phil, are we just going to call this a blip? I mean, or is that...
It's frustrating. Felton came back. We feel like we got a full squad, and then they just put up a bomb. Nobody played well. Melo, what do you have, 28 points on 47 shots? You know, I mean, just... a bad, miserable game by everybody. So I think you just chalk that up as one of those shit games. But yeah, after Boston, you're like, all right, here we go, man. That was a big win. Let's get it going.
Yeah, because
we're in the right direction. It can happen.
I mean, bottom line is we have the easiest month of the year coming up. It's a breeze. It's a breeze. It's a really.
And we're talking 8-2. So right now, they're 2-1.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, look, this week we have, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, we have home Atlanta, Orlando, Milwaukee, Sacramento, and then next Monday, home at Detroit. And then we have Washington on the road. I mean, these are all winnable games. That's five in a row, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to take care of business, especially at the Garden. You got this home stretch. You got to go back to the team they were in the beginning of the season when they were just killing people at home. I mean, they were blowing teams out, protecting home. They had the whole, we got to protect this house thing. And they got to get back to that.
We have eight home games this coming month. Eight home games and only four road games.
Yeah, and they're against, like, subpar teams.
The road games are Washington, Minnesota, Indiana, and Toronto. So, I mean, three of those four are not, really intimidating.
No. So the Boston game was good, and I mean Boston had their chances at the end. It was good defense by Smith twice on Paul Pierce at the end of the game.
Yeah, look, I mean it was a it's going to be a hard fought against Boston always, and here's what I think about that game, and then I'll sort of lump in this game. We're not going to kill a playoff team in the East. We're not going to kill anybody. I mean, we're going to kill crappy teams, and then we have to beat everyone else. It doesn't matter how you win. You win by two, you win by 20. We're most likely going to have close games with these Eastern playoff teams. And Atlanta's an Eastern playoff team. You have to beat them at home, and we did that.
Yeah, I wouldn't fear them. If we matched up against them, I wouldn't fear. What I'm worried about now is slipping to a 3 or 4 seed when you got the Bulls right behind us, a game behind us.
Yeah, I just don't see us slipping because I'm looking at this schedule this month, and I see us winning 10 games. I really do.
I hope, man. I hope the Bulls are right there. And as you know, I've been saying it. The Bulls are the one team I don't want to face in the playoffs. I'll face Miami. I'll face anyone. I think the Bulls give us a lot of trouble. We're 0-3 against them.
I think this week is a good test because they're crappy teams. I want to see if we're back to sort of our dominating the bad teams at home ways.
Tonight wasn't that. We weren't dominating. But like you said, Atlanta, and I said it too, they're a professional basketball team.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I did feel, though. Good, bad, or delusional. I felt like we were always the better team the whole game.
I think we controlled the tempo. Yeah.
I always felt like they had to try and come back, and, they never really were in command. We were always in command of this game.
I agree. And we had the – Josh Smith – Korver got hot at the end, and then Josh Smith – was kind of studly tonight. He was kind of really good.
Yeah, and Hofford, hit all of most of his shots. I mean, look, the Hawks played well.
Yeah, they did. They weren't. You knew it was going to be a tough game. You weren't looking at this like I thought they'd win, but I wasn't like that's a layup.
Yeah, no, but you know what's weird about it? I don't know if this is again good or bad. Is it to me? It felt like the Knicks knew they were better than the Hawks.
You had one of those like. Kind of coasting, you think?
Didn't it feel like that? Because every time they got up 5 or 6, they sort of put their they let up off the pedal,
Hmm.
I mean, in a game where Melo's got 42 on 9 threes, you'd think we'd be killing it.
Just couldn't close it. Every time we got a little bit of a lead, we were up 8. They just They just came right back.
Mostly bad defense, you know. But everybody seemed to play, you know, a lot of Knicks played well. Like Amari played well on offense. Felton played well in the first quarter.
It's encouraging to see how Melo and Amari are playing together a little bit on offense, passing the ball.
Yeah, Melo has given Amari a couple of post-ups, which was nice. Melo's fed him a couple times.
Yeah, that's encouraging more than anything because, I mean, I also think the rumor that they can't play together is, you know, like I've said, with D'Antoni and no point guard, it's a little bit of a misleading stat that they can't play together. Now, we want to see them play together for real, but under Woodson with a point guard, I mean, especially with Amari coming off the bench, it's not even about them playing together.
I thought tonight they looked really good together. And again, Kidd went out in the second half. That was a blow. And Chandler wasn't himself. But the two of them really looked like they were in a groove.
Yeah. There were some times where Amari was cutting, Melo hit him. It's encouraging. What are you thinking out of you talked about Chumper coming back, about Ray Felton now, two games in.
Well, you know, I liked his aggression in the first quarter. That's what we were missing in the past 10 games. That you know, go get yours, Felton, so that Melo doesn't feel like the burden is his.
They miss his penetration so much. So I think, you know, it's going to take a little bit. But I don't think he was terrible tonight.
No, although I thought he was good.
Had, like, a career high, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, look, I think Felton, you know, for better or worse, is never going to be a 50% shooter. But you need his aggression. You need the threat. And he is that now.
Yeah, and we have that back. We have that back from him.
I like that Shumpert hit a three. I mean, that was good.
Yeah, Shumpert against the Celtics hit two threes. There was a stretch, I think it was in the third quarter, where the Celtics were starting to kind of pull away a bit and were up like eight, and Shumpert hit two threes, and we climbed back in it. So Shumpert's been okay. His shot, like you said, Shumpert's shot's never going to be, you know, 50% from the field. But
no, I mean, we need guys shooting, you know, 30-35% from three-point line. That's really the key, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's how our team works. For better or for worse, it's Felton or Chandler penetration or Melo ISO and kick it to swing it around to an open 3-point shooter.
That's what it's going to have to be, the offense. And if we get hot, the Knicks get hot, you have Novak, who's been kind of useless, especially without Felton, who can't play defense.
But, you know, even tonight he was useless. I don't even think I think he one shot that got blocked, which was pathetic.
Oh, my God. Who blocked that? I think Korver blocked that.
That's the worst part, when there's a better white guy who does exactly what you do.
Korver's a way better version of Novak.
Yeah.
Because he can run around screens.
Do you think Novak has a poster of Kyle Korver up in his house, in his room?
How is it that he's just too slow that Novak cannot run around screens?
He's really slow.
It's unbelievable that a guy who's that good of a shooter – he just can't run around screens. He can't run around screens to get open. It's got to be all his defender's not on him and he's open.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Oh, by the way, I want to ask you, was that the best one-minute stretch of the season for Melo, where he hit those two threes and then buried that one that felt in between the legs to him 45 feet away?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And a great stretch by Amari with like about 5 minutes left. Where he had, I mean, not when he fouled Korver, when he ate him, but at the end, he had a few important buckets when the game was close.
You know, he has this mini hook now that I think is a thing.
He worked with Akeem. You can't work with Akeem and not videotape it for everyone to see. Everyone needs to know you worked out with Akeem. So it's clearly paying off right now.
Did you see the going rate to work with Akeem?
What's that?
Did you see how much it cost to work with Akeem?
How much?
I thought it was free, and then I heard on the telecast that it was 50 grand he had to pay Akeem.
What the fuck? It's 50 grand to work out with him? That's insane. I thought Akeem just helps him out.
That's what I thought. They go, no, it cost him $50,000. Like, for what, 2 days?
Yeah, that's insane, man.
Think about this, though, right? Like, you're a white corporate CEO, and you want to go to fantasy basketball camp with some Hall of Famer that probably cost you the same.
Yeah, Jordan does that.
Yeah.
I was talking on 60 Minutes a few years ago. He does a fantasy camp that's a lot of money, and he plays ball with everybody.
Yeah, he probably makes 50 grand a person for a weekend.
Yeah, because it's I think it was less, but it's like a bunch of people do it.
Amari has to pay to go to fantasy camp with Akeem.
I can't believe that. I didn't hear in the telecast.
Yeah. Wow.
50,000. That's insane to me.
Then they were like, I bet he didn't charge LeBron.
Yeah, you would think he didn't charge LeBron, right?
Right.
My God.
That's pathetic that Amari got charged.
To get his camp out there.
Yeah. You think Amari was on a waiting list, too?
It was either him or Deshaun Stevenson and Amari.
Akeem, you know, it's funny because Akeem puts his name to people that you might not necessarily want to put your name to.
Who else?
Well, I was talking about Amari. Like, what if it didn't work out, you know?
Ah, there you go. Well, he did the Dwight Howard one, I think, like 2 years ago,
that
right?
That didn't work out at all.
Yeah. Well, Dwight's just too big. His arms are just – they're just too big to ever, like, I think, have a jump shot.
Yeah, Amari has more of Akeem's body.
Yeah, Dwight's too big where he thought he can't shoot.
You definitely had to enjoy Amari smoking that elbow jumper nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what you want, and hopefully the pick and roll comes.
That was sort of the shot of the night for me, looking ahead.
Melo was huge, though. I mean, my God, he was just so good all night. I mean, this is what we paid for. This is why we wanted him eating again, you know?
You know, I mean, this is exactly what every Knick fan is like, okay, you know what, whatever happens, we have these games that keep us going for another week and another month.
I mean, think of how you felt in the beginning of the year. They were down some of those games, and they came back. San Antonio, Bobcats, and you have Melo at the end. Some teams don't. We have a guy, you know, on the Knicks that you know can hit that shot.
I mean, the guy is averaging almost 30 a game. Averaging. He's had 4 40-point games this year already.
Yeah, not a 50, though. What a slacker.
He'll get a 50 this year. He'll get a 50.
He's got to get the 50. By the way, did you see Kobe live tweeting his 81-point game?
Yeah, what a joke.
Very boring. I looked at it because I thought maybe he'd say something interesting, but it was just like, yeah, look at these. I missed some easy shots. I would have had 100. Like, yeah, that's how it works.
Have we now been duped by the media? I think it's like a weird spin. We now think Kobe has become interesting.
He's not.
He's not at all.
Well, the thing of calling it out Smush Parker was interesting because it was so weird and so vicious to be that malicious on a guy who, like, was kind of a borderline, you know, fringe player, and you're, like, still going after him. But yeah. He's just a psychopath, Kobe.
Yeah, I'm on Smush Parker's side on that one.
Oh, Kobe's being a total dick going at him.
Meanwhile, you notice the Lakers won 2 in a row when Kobe's passing the ball.
Yeah, he has 15 assists both games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma.
No, Kobe's not to blame. He's scoring so much.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So the week ahead, right? Let's do the what do you think is going to happen? Win or loss? We have Orlando Wednesday.
I'm going Wednesday.
You're going?
Yeah, I got my birthday gift.
Yeah. What? That's a win.
I hope so. You would think they're going to beat Orlando again.
Yeah. Friday versus Milwaukee, that's a win at home.
Yeah, they beat Milwaukee.
And then Saturday versus Sacramento at home, who beat us. We're going to destroy them.
Yeah, that's a revenge game. Although I said the Houston Rockets was a revenge game. But Houston's such a weird team because they just have those games where they just go nuts and they blow past people. And they have games where they just
doesn't work. Yeah, how come they always blow past us and then lose 7 games in a row?
Sacramento, I think that's got to be a win. Yeah, they're a fringe professional basketball team.
I think we're in agreement this is a 3-0 week.
And then you got Detroit and Washington starting next week. I mean, they should go 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go 5-0 here. We need a streak. We haven't had a winning streak in a while.
Yeah, when was the last winning streak? Let me look back. Yeah, what do you consider a winning streak?
More than two games. We haven't had a four. We had a 4-game winning streak in December.
4 in December, 15th, the 9th to the 15th.
Yeah, and then 5 games in November, and then, you know, a bunch at the 6-0 at the beginning of the year. We need a 5-game winning streak, 6-game winning streak here.
You got to get some distance from the Nets. Now, obviously, yeah, you're not worried about the Celtics anymore, but the Nets, I mean, that's game, they're a game and a half up on the Nets.
Yeah, but it's a little misleading because I always go by losses. They're 3 up in the loss column.
True. You know, I don't think the Nets ever overtake them.
Yeah,
but,
you know, because the Nets are at 18 losses already.
Yeah.
I just don't see the Knicks ending up losing as many. You know, I feel like, you know, by the end of this month, the Knicks are going to be like, you know, 35 and 18 or something.
Yeah, they showed, they kept showing at the game the best start, and they're like kind of like the fifth best start or something like that, you know? Like 94 was the best start.
This is the biggest month of the year. This is the one where they have to roll through it. I mean, you got to steamroll because it gets really hard after that month.
Yeah, we're looking at the All-Star break and just, man, you want to just send a message going to that break. Because after the All-Star break, there's what, like 25 games left?
Yeah, there's a lot of tough ones. You know, we haven't even played Oklahoma yet.
You got to play Golden State twice. You got to play the Clippers twice.
Yeah, you got to play Oklahoma City twice, the Clippers twice, Memphis again, Miami twice more, Chicago. There's a lot of tough games.
Yeah, this is the part where, you know, it's like in football. When you're playing like two kind of shitty teams to start, you got to get that 2-0 because, you know, you have no room for error because if you lose to these teams, you're not doing anything.
Yeah. Should we do the top three Knicks of this past week or five?
We can do three just because it was just kind of a few games.
I'll tell you my number three of the week is Amari Stoudemire. He's
really?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, he's really rounding into form, man. I mean, he's not playing a lot of minutes. They said today, Woodson said, you know, he's never going to be a 30-minute guy again for the rest of his career, which I think is encouraging that Woodson would publicly say that. I mean, obviously, Amari is sort of realizing, I think, what he is now, and I think he's embracing what he is.
I think so, too. I think he can. I mean, what about the famous thing in London where they asked him, whose team is it? And he goes, it's Melo's team.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me that says a mature, you know, player that's mostly, you know, obviously his defense is what it is, but he's a net big, big positive for this team right now.
Big positive, even with the shitty defense. It just shows he's a different guy than a Marbury or someone who just couldn't get it. Even Iverson. Iverson, remember, he wouldn't want to come off the bench.
Yep.
And all that bullshit late in his career. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think we got to give him credit. So he's my number three.
I had him at – I get Chandler for being named to his first All-Star game and inventing the pat-back kind of rebound that everyone's talking about now that I've seen another – I forget who. I was watching another game the other night late, and I saw that guy do it, and I'm like, that's so because of Chandler.
Oh, it's so trendy now.
It's so in. I figured it was a shit game. It wasn't a good game. But I was watching it, and I saw the center do it, and I was like, that's Chandler. It's very in right now. He created that first All-Star game, which I think it's deserved.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people started copying Dikembe's finger wag.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, what's his name on the Hawks? Theo
Theo Ratliff?
Ratliff doing a little finger wag, or am I making that up?
Tonight?
No, I'm saying I think he copied Dikembe's finger wag.
Yeah, he might have done it. You know. We had Mutombo. Yeah. That was a big era.
Yeah, listen.
Mutombo.
Chandler is absolutely an all-star. Anybody around the league would agree with that.
I'd pick Brook Lopez over Bosch.
Well, obviously, Brook Lopez should have been there over Garnett, but Garnett got voted in.
That's the problem.
And, you know, look, Bosch, people think, you know, whatever you want to think of Bosch, he's a solid, he's an all-star, borderline all-star.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Here was interesting. I don't know if you saw the TNT coverage before it. It was before the Knicks-Celtics game. And Barkley and a bunch of those guys had J.R. Smith going, and they were all wrong, obviously. I didn't see J.R. Smith as an all-star, I got to be honest.
Nah, J.R. Smith's not an all-star.
Well, spots, man. I mean, look, he shot 0 for 8. He's shooting like 30% in the month of December. Just don't see it, man. I know he's playing really well, and I know he's hit two game-winning shots, but it's 12 spots, man. Who are you taking off? I mean, I'm not taking off Paul George, who's like the main cog of that Pacers team, and he's playing really well. I'm not taking off Luol Deng. I mean, I just don't see it with J.R. Smith.
No, he's not. He's just never going to be an all-star. He's just not.
Well, this was the only year he had a chance.
You know, look. The biggest thing about all-stars is they're consistent.
Yes.
He's not a consistent player. He'll never be an all-star. He'll never have the level of consistency that we want him to have. It's just – he just won't. You know? So he – we're getting the best J.R. Smith we're ever going to get.
You know, I agree. I agree, man. He's amazing compared to where he was last year at the end of the season. I think, again, with no point guard, it has to do too much. But, I mean, he was kind of a disaster.
Are you worried about Kidd getting hurt?
Well, you're playing him a lot of minutes. I mean, what are you going to do, man? You're going to stick with this lineup with Kidd and Shumpert? I mean, what do you do if you're Woodson? I mean, do you start Amari or no? You just leave him there.
Never start Amari. Don't. That'll just jam things up. You leave it the way it is, man. Depending on matchups, I guess.
Did Brewer even play tonight?
No. I think he's buried. James White was there for like 8 minutes just to sort of spell JR.
Just to miss a three, and that's it.
Yeah, like no confidence in his shot either. It was like...
Brewer, what? Oh, my God. I talked you up, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that.
Oh, wait. So back to my number two for the week, actually, is Chandler as well. You know, he's... I agree with you. Kudos to the man for his all-star selection. And just every week, he's just on there. He's almost like forcing his way on my list.
Yeah, he does a lot.
Wait, did I do it out of order? Was it your turn to do number two?
I did two. I put Amari. I mean, his defense is abysmal, but just accepting his role, the things you said, coming off the bench, being a great teammate, it's underrated stuff. I mean, it was his team first. He came over. Now, look, he's compensated very, very nicely. But
yeah, no, I mean, I think, obviously it sounds cliched, but I think the teams that go deep have good chemistry. I think the Knicks have good chemistry.
I think they like each other.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have said that about any Knicks team in the past 10 years.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph get along. I mean,
yeah, I just think it's, Amari is the key to that chemistry, and he's really, it seems like he's having fun too.
Yeah, and J.R. Smith gets a big kick out of Novak when he tries to force passes to him.
Yeah.
J.R., we love you. You never pass, but settle down there.
Yeah, I mean, that Felton pass to between his legs to Melo was so sweet. Oh.
Felton didn't crack my top three. I put Melo at one just to be boring, just because tonight he was so good.
You and I are on the same page, man. I finally thought about it today, and I'm like, Melo deserves this top spot every now and then just to remind ourselves how good he is. And here he goes and drops 9 threes. I wanted him to break that record.
What's the record?
John Starks and Sprewell, I think.
I remember the Sprewell game. I forget who was playing, but he was trying to get at the end, and the other team was getting pissed. And, like, I think it might have been the Bucks, and yeah.
Melo, I love that Melo isn't trying to get anything, These are organic, in the course
of the game.
Hard-fought win.
Sprewell was trying to get his at the end.
Yeah. I love that people keep telling me that Rondo, goes for assists, he's a stats guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah, totally. You can see it. When he doesn't want to shoot, when he should, or a layup, and he, he does weird stuff like that. He's totally knows what his stats
are.
I
know. It's funny. Do you think Melo knows he's 29 in a row games over 20 points?
Yes. Because that's there, and that's an easy stat.
But he definitely
wants to score under.
He gets to 20 by halftime every game anyway.
Yeah. That he knew. You don't think he knows that?
Yeah, he knows. He only had one assist. It annoys me because it's just more fuel to people who aren't watching the games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just another deceptive stat line for people who are critics of Melo.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's dying, though.
I don't know. I feel like Melo's always going to have his critics, especially after a stretch where he had 28 shots, five games in a row.
That's the problem. When he has games like that, it's going to always stick because it's piss poor shooting. And it's like what people used to say about him,
I know, but he's passing so well. That's the thing. I wish he could just rack up a couple more assists.
Well, his assist numbers are down because it's like the hockey assist because he's playing good team ball.
Yeah.
He might not get the assist because it was the extra pass.
He had a couple of really nice passes out of double teams tonight, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think Woodson has to make any adjustments here, or is this the team, and are we just rolling the dice with what we have here, and we're going to end up where we're going to end up?
That lineup, something's weird. I feel like they're not playing to their potential. Something's still a little weird with it.
What do you suggest? Because this is our team, you know. Now we have to sort of
think about it. I've been really thinking about it. What can they do?
Because you know, that's the, you know, like we've all been saying this thing, and I hate doing that. Where we go, oh well, we'll be a little bit better when this guy comes back. Oh well, we'll be a little bit better when this guy comes back. They're all back, so this is our team, Knicks fans. We have to accept this is our team. Are we? You know, what do we need to do? Do we need to adjust? Are we good enough to make a legitimate run the way we're playing? I guess I just want to know: is this, you know, is this team good enough as constructed? Are we playing? What do we need to do? Do we just need to play better, or are these pieces not enough?
I think you got to drop someone and pick up a rebounder.
You know, but as we said, it's not that easy.
I know. But does this ball work in the playoffs when it's slowed down and you're going to play a team like the Bulls that plays really good defense? Is this kick-out three-point kind of system going to work? Is it going to hold?
The only thing I do like is we have a little bit more of a post-game with Amari now.
Yeah, and if he's hitting the baby hook. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be really interesting. Amari gives you a nice dimension off the bench. He's, like I said, overqualified for this job.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, I think him and J.R. Smith give us, you know, really some real, real bench firepower.
Yeah.
I have to say, Prigioni's playing okay now.
He hit two threes, man. What do you want from him, man?
Yeah, he didn't play that many minutes, though, tonight.
No. Felton got the bulk of it. I mean, Felton was just a busted pinky. So you know that, like, his shot might be a little off, and he needs to maybe get into, like, full running shape. But it wasn't, like, a horrific injury that's going to, like, really take some, like, major time, you know? He should be fine in, like, two games.
No, in fact, I think Woodson realized the importance of winning this game. He kept the starters in for a very long time in the second half.
It would have been a bad loss. I mean, look, the Hawks are a professional team, but to lose after you got killed by the Sixers, you needed this win. You needed it. You really did. You don't want to be a half game up on the Nets.
No, you do not. And, you know, these guys are going to keep coming. The Nets are going to keep coming. The Bulls are going to keep coming. The Pacers are going to keep coming. We got to put some distance between them. If we want to be better than them, this is the week to do it, next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Boston's done. They're seven behind, but Brooklyn's two games. So, I mean, they're right on your heels. Let's look at Brooklyn's schedule here. That's the one I worry about. Brooklyn, I don't know. They're like a pretty good constructed team, I think.
No,
I
agree. You know, they're built for the playoffs too, but you know, are they going to win 53 games if our magic number is 52? Are they going to win 53?
I don't think they'll win 53. I think they're going to win either low 50, like 51-50, or like 48.
I mean, I think
they had a little bit of an easy stretch. They played a bunch of Wizard games and like on their run. The Suns, they split with the Hawks, the Raptors. They played some, you know, okay. They killed the Sixers. I mean, they're playing. They got a game. Look, man. Look, dude. They're playing the Heat, the Bulls. That's two tough games. And then the Lakers in they're home. So that's like, you know, besides the Magic, that's like their next four games. They could go 1-3.
I'd like to see that. That would give us a real nice separation.
If they go 1-3, yeah. So we'll see, man. I mean, I don't think the Nets beat Miami. I think Miami wins that. I think the Bulls are better than the Nets, and I think the Lakers maybe are starting to turn it around a little bit. So I still, even though the Lakers have been bad, I still don't want to play the Lakers, you know?
Yeah, no, listen, I think our focus has to be, like you said, on the Atlantic Division, winning it and, you know, getting that 2 seed.
That's it. That's all you can do. It's like comedy. You can't worry about what other people have. You can't worry about who the Nets are playing. It's just like, just take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks just go, hey, we got to win 53 games and then look at the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
We should have 35 wins by the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'd be real nice.
You know, that would really put us in good position. You know, then you just split the rest of the year and you had 50.
Yeah, they're on pace. They're on pace for the 50, 51, 52 wins.
Yeah. They'll get there.
It's been fun season all in all.
It's the most fun I've had as a Knicks fan in a very, very long time. And this has been great, man. This has really lifted my spirits.
Since the 90s, because that 2000 season, they were good, but you kind of, like, Patrick was old. Like, you knew, like, there was a lot of cracks. Our point guard was Charlie Ward.
No, we knew it was the end of something. We knew we had to move on, you know.
Just didn't know it was going to be this bad.
No, we did. We definitely didn't know we were going to have misery for 12 years. But I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about this team. Another good win tonight. This week, let's really put it into the next gear. And listen, enjoy the game on Wednesday. That's exciting.
I don't know where I'm sitting, but if Dolan wasn't the owner, this team would look very different. You probably would have rebuilt. And I don't know. You know, you can't speculate. It's too many ifs. But yeah, I don't know where I'm sitting, but I'm looking forward to going. Last time I went was the Sixers, and they blew out the Sixers. So.
Yeah, take some notes. You know, tell us what you observe. You know, from this team.
Yeah, I'll see the bench chemistry.
Last game of January. Tell us where the Knicks really stand. You know, when you're seeing them up close from the 300s.
I'm gonna be looking at the bench chemistry.
Yeah, look at the guys on the bench. Who sits next to who? Are they joking? Are they? You know?
Are they happy?
Also, look at who sits behind the Knicks.
Did you notice a fat Van Exel on the Hawks coaching staff?
You knew that guy was going to balloon.
Nick Van Exel? Yeah, well, my theory with athletes are always like, you work so hard to keep your body in shape for like 20 years, right? As a professional athlete, you're working out, doing cardio like every day. So when you're done playing, your body just balloons up because it's so used to being so tight and doing so much cardio that even if you're not eating like a pig, it's just, you're just not running like that level, so now you balloon up.
Yeah, especially if you have a round face. A lot of guys with round faces, you could tell.
Look at Jordan, man. Jordan's got the round face.
Yeah, he really put on probably 60, 70 pounds since his playing days.
Yeah, he was super cut. That's a guy who was jacked. Jordan was really cut.
Yeah, no, any guy who has a round face, you can tell they're going to gain 50, 60 pounds. How heavy do you think Melo's going to be when he retires?
Melo's is like, what is with that guy, man? He does so much cardio every day. Why is he still like kind of like stocky and pudgy?
Genetics, man. He was meant to be a pudgy kid.
Yeah, he's like, there's no way he has any sort of abs, I would say.
How much do you think Raymond Felton will balloon when he retires?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Amari's in like, I'd say the best shape who like looks... is Amari, who's the most cut.
Yeah. You know who Felton's going to look like? When Felton retires, he's going to look like Curtis Gates, William Gates' older brother from Hoop Dreams.
Felton's got no muscle tone either. Am I like crazy? I don't see it.
I mean, the Knicks' personal trainer must be embarrassed by the body types on the Knicks.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah, I can't think of anyone that's like really like cut.
Shumpert's cut.
Shumpert is. Shumpert's in good shape. Amari's in good shape. Yeah. Novak has no muscle tone.
None. Copeland's a little sloppy, too.
What? Copeland, man. Fucking, just call him Bambi out there. I tell you, look, when Bambi's trying to stand.
I love it. I love how uncoordinated we make him out to be.
He's like fucking, he's fucking on ice. He's like trying to get his balance.
I see him as like a... in like a sketch comedy, like falling all over himself with a basketball.
Copeland.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, listen, enjoy the game on Wednesday. I guess that wraps it up for this week.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. So, you know, bring them some good juju.
I will. Good talking to you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you next week.